We believe in God, the Eternal Father.
We believe in the Bible to be the Word of God.
We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous.
We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind.
We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God.
We may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things.
Welcome to Why I Believe. My name is Rick Starr. Today our guest is Bradford Waldie, who graduated first in his class at the Air Force Academy in 2010. He joins us from Oxford in England. Bradford, welcome to Why I Believe.
Thanks very much, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. Bradford, you have a lot of achievements under your belt for being such a young age, and I'd like to talk to you about some of the things you've done in your life. You grew up in Arizona, is that correct?
That is correct, born and raised.
When did you gain an interest in joining the Air Force?
It actually wasn't until pretty late in my young life at home in Arizona, because I always planned on going into business or maybe into medicine my entire life. And then when I got to my junior year at in high school, I was speaking with a friend of mine, and we were in the middle of all the applications for college, and you know, everyone's always talking about where you're applying. And so I'd mentioned the few schools that I was applying to, and that friend said, well, hey, you're pretty smart. You should apply to the Air Force Academy. And that was the first time I had ever heard of the Air Force Academy. I knew very little about it or the military. And so I decided to look into it and apply just to keep my options open. And that was my first contact with the Air Force Academy and with the military in general. And then I guess as things progressed, I got to that decision point, and I did, after a lot of discussion with my family and a lot of prayer and a lot of just kind of trying to trust my instincts, trust the spirit, I just decided to go for the Air Force Academy, not really knowing what the military entailed or what was going to be in my future. But it was kind of a little bit of a leap of faith. But that was how I first got interested.
Was it different from what you expected when you went there?
It was pretty different. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, my grandfather had served in the Air Force back a few decades ago, and I'd you know, seen some of his pictures on the wall, and I guess that probably subtly influenced me as well in my decision. But I had never really had any long discussions with him about the Air Force or with anyone for that matter about what the Air Force is like or what military life is like. And so I kind of went in blind. So hard to say if it was different from what I expected, because I just really had no idea what to expect.
Were you thinking, I'm going to be a pilot when you went to the academy? Or what were you thinking?
I actually wasn't thinking I'm going to be a pilot. The decision was also almost a little bit reluctant at first. I had a friend at my high school at Mountain View where he was also going to the Air Force Academy, and he was gung-ho. He'd wanted to go his whole life. And so he was a big influence on me in trying to persuade me to go. And I went to the academy thinking, you know, I'm not really sure if this is for me. And when you're a pilot, you have to add an extra commitment onto the Air Force and to your Air Force career. And so I really thought, you know, I should see if I like it first and make sure that it's something I really want to do. And so I wasn't sure that I would be a pilot or what I would do. And I just kind of took it on faith, I guess, just hoping that things would work out.
Mm-hmm. So you just went there for your first year. Just to see kind of what it's all about, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, there are probably some other things. I mean, the challenge of it and the thought of serving, you know, serving my nation, those are obviously things that factor into the decision. But really, I think it really was just a little bit of a leap of faith and really a huge learning experience for me. I definitely went in and had a steep learning curve that first year.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Air Force Academy does allow people to take leave of absence to go on a mission. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess back in the early days of the Academy, it was difficult, if not impossible, for anyone to leave and go on a mission. But throughout the years, through a lot of work and dedication by members of the church at the Academy and by cadets who had taken that bigger leap of faith to leave on a mission and then try to get back in afterwards, the process has become a little bit more streamlined now. The way it works is after either your first year or your second year, you can resign from the academy, so you have to completely drop out and break all ties with the academy, and then you go and serve your mission. And while you're on your mission, you got to find a little bit of time towards the end of your missionary service to reapply to the academy. But because, as I said, of all those who've gone before, the people at the academy, the administration office there, and they understand what's going on, and they're usually pretty helpful in getting people out and then back in again without too many issues, as long as you leave in good standing.
Oh, okay. So there wasn't too much of a risk of you losing the opportunity to go back to the academy. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you leave with good grades and with having done well in your freshman year, there's a pretty good chance you can leave fairly confident you'll be able to get back in. But there are those every once in a while who, for different reasons, maybe medical reasons or for their grades were a little bit on the edge, they aren't able to go back in. So it's definitely not a for sure thing. But usually, I mean, by and large, almost everyone who leaves in good standing and wants to come back in makes it back in.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about your mission here in a few minutes, but I'd like to get a description from you of what it's like to be a Mormon at the Air Force Academy. Are there a lot of other members?
There are a few, not a lot. I mean, I come from a city where the membership of the church is fairly large. I mean, in my high school, it was probably 30-40% LDS. And so when I went to the Air Force Academy, it was obviously the first time in my adult life being without my family and without that strong support of the church. I remember one day in basic training, we'd only been there a few days, and it was the first time they separated us for what they call Spire, which is their spiritual, their spiritual uplifting time of basic training. They give you an hour or two where you can meet with your own religious groups. Mm-hmm. And they lined us all up on this dirt road out in the middle of Jack's Valley, our training camp. And then one by one, they called each faith group forward, and they said, all right, Catholic, step forward. And everyone who's Catholic took a step forward, and they shuttled them off to one area, and they said, Protestant, step forward. Or, they just went through different, Baptist, and Jewish, all the different faiths, and the numbers were dwindling. And I started thinking to myself, here I am, a brand new basic cadet, and I was so worried about getting singled out and then being, having people, focus on me as the Mormon. You know, I guess at that time I wasn't really sure how that would impact me, having come from such a Mormon dominant community, I guess. And so we got down to those last few people, and they called out the Latter-day Saints, and me and one other kid, I found out at that moment, stepped forward. And so it was so great to instantly have someone there in my little flight of basic cadets that was a member of our faith and someone who I drew a lot of strength from over my basic training experience.
Yeah, it's almost like being assigned a missionary companion.
He's
the only other one there.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to have a companion, though. I was glad to not be alone. And then we went from there and were shuttled off to our group. And there were about 20 or 30 LDS cadets going through that year. And so I drew a lot of strength from them. And, despite the fact that our numbers aren't large at the academy, we really support each other. And, I mean, that's one thing I've admired about, mm-hmm. the church since I've left home.
How important was it to you, Bradford, that you keep your standards strong when you were at the academy?
I mean, it was important on a lot of levels. I mean, personally, there's no way I would have made it through all the demands that the academy puts on their cadets without having the added strength that came from, knowing where I stand morally, not having to solve that question in the midst of all the chaos of the academy, but also in setting an example for others. And being at the academy, it's a very diverse place, more so than most universities, because each cadet is assigned and sent by a senator or congressman. So we have a pretty even spread across the entire nation. Mm-hmm. And so there are many, many people at the academy there who have never met a Mormon or don't know anything about what the Latter-day Saint faith entails. And so, from the outside looking in, I suppose it's extremely important to maintain your standards and to let people know what you believe, because you oftentimes are the only example they have of the Latter-day Saint community.
Mm-hmm. Bradford, you kind of hinted at a principle that I'd like to talk a little bit about, and that is making the decision long beforehand to keep your standards.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your recommendation to youth if you were talking to them about decision-making in their youth?
I guess my recommendation to youth in their decision-making would be, I loved the statement in General Conference. It was just the last General Conference where I wish I could remember who said it. They said that in a time of crisis, that's not the time to develop your faith. That's the time when faith is exercised. And, you know, a lot of times, especially preparing to leave home, everyone, no matter where you go, you know, even if it's a church school, if it's BYU or BYU Idaho or anything like that, you're going to have challenges of faith. So it's so important to start early before you leave home, when you have the support of your friends and family, to make sure that you've really thought deeply about the principles of the gospel, and also tried things out on your own. You know, try to, I mean, if there's a commandment in particular that you are unsure about, try living it while you're still at home and have strength and have questions, and you can struggle through that. And then know for sure before you face a challenge that you're resolute in your faith, because when times become really tough, it's difficult to simultaneously develop faith that you don't have and make it through that trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you put that, Bradford, resolute in your faith. That's a great way to put it. Bradford, let's talk about your mission. You left after a year at the Air Force Academy, and you went on an interesting mission in Canada. Talk a little bit about that.
I did. There was kind of a story associated with me opening my mission call that I really like sharing, and that was I was at the academy, and it was coming to the end of my freshman year there, and I had two good friends, the one who I'd been through, who was a member of our faith all that year, and then I had another great friend who I roomed with who didn't know anything about the church. And so being at the academy, I wasn't able to open my mission call around my friends and family. So when I got that call, I grabbed these two friends, and we ran up on top of this hill right by the academy, and there I opened up my mission call. And it was kind of funny to have it read there in front of a person who's not a member of our faith, because as I read it out loud, I said, you've been called to serve in the Canada-Toronto West Mission. And the response from my friend was, Canada? And I didn't know anyone goes on missions to Canada. And I thought it was kind of a funny response. And then I continued reading and read that it was going to be in Mandarin Chinese, and he thought that was even more bizarre. So it was definitely a unique mission call. I served in Western Ontario, called the Canada-Toronto West Mission, and I served speaking Mandarin to the Chinese immigrants who had moved to the Toronto area.
Mm-hmm. I bet he was surprised when he heard that.
Yeah, he definitely was.
A lot of people who aren't members of our faith, they don't realize how widespread missions are throughout the world.
Yep.
And so there's missions in Canada, there's missions in Hong Kong, you know, that speak Chinese in both places. And I know there's a great population of Chinese speaking people in that area.
There definitely are.
Let me just mention that you're listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel, and you are invited at any time to download this program and other programs on the Mormon Channel and listen to them at your convenience. Today our guest is Bradford Waldy, who was first in his class at the Air Force Academy in 2010. Bradford, we're talking about your mission.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article in the Church News about you, and you mentioned a few things that your mission helped you to develop that were a great help for you at the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you would think of the Air Force Academy as being a place where you develop great discipline through basic training and a lot of hard work. But you said that your mission was a place where you learned a few things. The first thing I wanted to talk about was your attitude toward learning.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something in the Church News about how that changed from before, when you spent a year at the Air Force Academy, and then you went on your mission and came back to the Air Force Academy. What was your attitude toward learning when you came back?
I think that my mission definitely helped me to understand the importance of education in a broader sense. Having been, only at home and then that one year at the Air Force Academy, I think I didn't really understand the importance of education in its broader context. And being in Toronto, where I interacted with people from all over the world, I met people from places that I'd never even heard of before, and just learning about their backgrounds, where they came from, and then trying to see how the gospel applies to each and every person's life, you know, despite these different and broad backgrounds, really just fascinated me, and it helped me to understand that learning is an endeavor that helps you to reach out and to communicate with other people, and helps you to be able to understand where people come from, and it can really make an impact in other people's lives. Beforehand, I think I saw education as something that's going to benefit me. You know, I wanted to get good grades so that I could get to a good college and get a good job and, you know, all those sorts of things. But after serving my mission and seeing how an education could benefit others, it really helped me to be more motivated in my schooling. And it was no longer just about the grades, but about, you know, the impact I might be able to have by learning about a specific subject, whatever that may be.
That's great. The other area that you mentioned was the area of discipline. How did your mission help you in that area?
I think this was the most surprising to me. You know, having come out of the Air Force Academy, I thought that, you know, I'd be prepared well for a mission. But mission is it's the most amazing time of any young man's life, but it also can be one of the most challenging in that it's constantly dedicating your entire, you know, heart, mind, and soul to the work. And that constant dedication, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, no weekends, holidays, everything is dedicated to the Lord's work, and really consecrating not only just your actions, but your thoughts and your words and everything to the Lord takes an extreme amount of discipline. And I guess, you know, that's why we're disciples, because we, you know, we have so much discipline in our following Jesus Christ. And so, you know, having to day in and day out follow a very strict schedule as a missionary was something that even took discipline above and beyond what the academy did. Because while the academy, we did have a strict schedule, you got time off, you know, you had personal time, we had weekends, holidays to go back home and all those sorts of things. I think that the work I did on my mission was much more demanding and also equally much more rewarding at times than some of the training that the academy provided. So when I went back to the academy, I thought, you know, this is nothing compared to what the mission did for me.
This is easy stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Now, you continued your studies in Chinese, didn't you, at the academy?
I did, yeah. They offer a major there called Foreign Area Studies, where you just study the history, politics of a given region. So I studied Asia, and I got a minor in Mandarin, so I continued to study Chinese.
Oh, that's great. Didn't you also spend some time in China?
I did, yeah. The academy, you know, this is one of the, you know, those little blessings that just come along the way as you continue to try to live your life in the right way. While I was gone on my mission, they formulated and developed a new program at the academy where they allowed students to go do a semester abroad at a at, you know, non-military universities in foreign countries. So when I left, that opportunity didn't exist, and when I came back, it was they had just started doing exchanges to a university in China, the Nanjing University. So I got to go there for a semester the year after I came back from my mission, and that was a great opportunity.
Wow, that is great. Where is that in China?
It's about an hour inland from Shanghai, so almost due west of Shanghai. So kind of in the central, a little bit more towards the coast.
Were you living with a family there or with a roommate? How did that work?
There were six of us who went over from the academy that year together, and we just split up. There were four of us in one apartment, two in another, and that's how we lived while we were over there.
How long were you there again?
One semester, so it was about 5 months.
Okay. What did you do as far as the church, attending church and that kind of thing in China?
Well, attending the church in China is always a little bit more scary than it actually turns out to be when you get there, because a lot of people aren't sure what the church is like over there, but when I arrived, you know, there was a branch there in Nanjing, it was actually, Nanjing is a place where Brigham Young University also sends a lot of their exchange students. So they there was a group, a few LDS members who attended the branch. The one interesting thing about the church in China is that currently members of the church who are not Chinese citizens have to attend a separate branch from members who are Chinese citizens. So while I was there, my branch was made up of entirely, you know, students studying abroad or Americans or other nationalities working in China who weren't Chinese citizens. So that was really interesting to see it, but it was still a great community, and having the church there, even in, you know, this city in China, the church was there to support, was an amazing thing for me to witness as, you know, as I went through my college experience.
Yeah. How many people were in that branch?
Oh, I can't remember. There were probably, I'd say 40, maybe 30 or 40. There were quite a few, because I think BYU sends over probably 20 or 30, and then, you know, I was one. There happened to actually be another Air Force Academy cadet who was on that exchange with me, who was also a member of the church. He had served his mission Chinese-speaking in New York. So we were both there together, and yeah, there was a pretty good group.
Wow, what a great experience.
It was.
When you came back to the academy, what were your goals in graduating from the academy?
So when I came back to the academy
when you came back, what were your goals as far as in the Air Force? What did you want to do with your education at the academy?
I guess some of the things, you know, especially having served in Toronto, which is so diverse, I really wanted to look for opportunities in the Air Force so I could continue to get experience and exposure overseas and you know, understanding different cultures and peoples. And, and there was one career path that I'd heard from others where it's actually not a career path, just a certain job called a defense attaché, which is basically a military advisor to an ambassador. And so while I was at the academy, I got the chance to intern in an embassy and see what the defense attaché does, and it seemed really exciting. So that was one thing I knew I wanted to do for sure. And then since I got there and I learned more and more about what the military meant and, you know, what it had to offer, the appeal and the lure of getting to fly, you know, for the Air Force was something that was too strong, and eventually it sucked me in, and now I'm really excited and gung-ho about becoming a pilot for the Air Force as well. So that was something that was unexpected, but that I'm also really looking forward to. And luckily, the one great thing about the military that I've enjoyed is that it's, you know, things change all the time. I can fly for the first part of my career and then still go on and do that defense attaché work that I had always wanted to do.
Yeah. It sounds like you're planning a pretty long career in the Air Force.
Yeah, right now I think I'm planning on staying in for, you know, at least with my pilot training commitment and my commitment from attending the academy, it'll be at least 14 years before I'll be out. So it'll be a good chunk of time there with the Air Force, and we'll see where it goes at that point.
Well, I was raised in the Air Force with my father being a pilot, and it was good to us. It was a good life, and it gave us a lot of interesting experiences around the world that you're getting right now. It sounds like you're at Oxford right now. And now tell me how that works. How does a cadet from the Air Force Academy end up at Oxford in England?
Well, it's definitely not something that I knew existed when I went to the academy, but the Air Force and the military in general, they do value higher education, and so every year they have a certain number of slots that go to each graduating class to get you to go off and go to graduate school right out of the academy. And a few of those slots give you the opportunity to go and study in foreign countries, and one of them was it's called the Alberta Bart Holiday Scholarship, and that one is given annually to one cadet at the academy to go and study at Oxford University for 2 years. And so when I heard about this opportunity, I knew it was something that I wanted to do, not only because I'd learned so much about how important education is from my mission, but also because from my mission as well, I'd learned how much I enjoy being overseas and interacting with people from different cultures and backgrounds. And Oxford's a very diverse university and also happens to be in the UK. So I'm learning a lot about, you know, what life in England is like and all those sorts of things. So that's how I made it here.
Yeah. Well, you've spent some time now in Canada on your mission and in China and also as an intern at an embassy. Where was that?
That was actually in Pretoria, South Africa.
Oh, so you were in South Africa also, and now you're in England.
Yes. The Air Force, one other thing I didn't anticipate was just how many travel opportunities I would have while being at the academy. A few of my professors there joked with me that I may have been one of the most expensive cadets to ever go through the academy because I took advantage of every opportunity I could find to travel. So I got to do a lot of traveling, and it was an amazing experience.
Well, it sounds like with your interest, you probably better get used to it. You're probably going to be traveling quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm okay with that for now.
But you've been at Oxford now for about a month, is that right?
Yep, it's been about a month now. We're just getting settled in.
What's your experience like so far there?
It's been really interesting, you know, really, really, again, some a surprise in some ways, and just I've learned so much already. I was expecting, you know, one thing you hear about Oxford, and you think of, you know, a big university all together, just like an American university, but it's actually quite different. You know, it's separated into 30 or so different colleges, and it's just got a different dynamic and altogether to it. So the university life has taken some adjusting to get used to, but I'm already learning a lot about, you know, my area of study, and also about just the English education system, and the city is great too. It's just a quiet city. You know, it's a lot of fun to be in. And like I said, very diverse, a lot of different students. Mm.
Are there other members you've run into there?
There are other members I've run into, quite a few actually. There's a really strong ward here I'm really enjoying being a part of, and I'm actually, you know, making this call from a member's home because I don't have a phone line set up in my house yet. So a member of the church offered to let me use their phone to make this or have this interview. So the church is here and doing well and vibrant, and I've really loved the ward here, and I've gotten to make some really good friends already in the short time I've been here.
Oh, that's great. What's your experience like so far being a Mormon among students from all over the UK and probably all over the world?
Again, I think that the academy trained me well to be where I'm at, because, like I said, it's similar to the academy in that there are many people who haven't run into very many members of our faith, and so one thing that's been an interesting challenge that I was anticipating, because I'd heard people say before that Oxford was this way, is that there's a very, very heavy culture towards drinking, towards alcohol and all those sorts of things here.
Oh.
And so at one event, even I heard someone give a quote that I thought was very telling, was that he said that sometimes Oxford seems to float on a sea of alcohol. So it's been interesting trying to navigate that tradition of drinking and being a Mormon, but it's also opened up a lot of great opportunities to share about my faith and about the church as I've, you know, attended activities and asked for, you know, water or juice instead of alcohol. So,
You know, you've had, like we said, a lot of experience in other countries now and mingling with many from other cultures. Mm-hmm. What would you say is some of the best advice you've received over the years from your parents, from general authorities, from leaders in the church, in your own ward? What are some of the things that have really influenced you and prepared you to be in that situation?
Kind of a big question, but I'll do my best to summarize it down. I think really one of the biggest things that lays at the core of who I am is the way that I was raised, my parents and their faith. You know, my mother especially, you know, whenever I'm, you know, making a decision about, you know, whether I should make the hour and a half journey to go attend an institute class, or, you know, if I can, you know, kind of maybe find an excuse that would make me feel okay about it. You know, her thoughts or her influence always pops into my mind, where she would say to me, you know, just do what's right, you know, always follow the rules. And that was my father's big thing as well. He said, listen, it's always usually very clear whether something is right or wrong, especially when you live in the light of the gospel. You know right from wrong. You're lucky to have that knowledge. So it's really simple. Just do what's right. You know, a lot of times it's easy for us to find excuses or reasons to, you know, maybe skip church here or there, or skip an activity, you know, and those kinds of things. And I think that just the influence of my parents and the way that they raised me has been amazing as well. From leaders and General Conference, you know, I'm having a hard time trying to think of any specific advice I've given, but every time that I find the church, no matter where I'm at in the world, there's a special feeling that comes, you know, a special strength that I get. I can be exhausted from traveling or from, you know, trying to learn a new language or be in a different place and navigate all those difficulties. But whenever you make it to where the church is at, there's just a common community, you know, a fellowship of faith that is, it's hard to put into words, but it's so valuable, and it's been something that's uplifted me and strengthened me. So I guess the influence of my family, my parents, and then just the feeling of comfort and camaraderie that comes from being with other members of the faith have been things that have really strengthened me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You're listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel, and please feel free to download this program and or any other programs on the Mormon Channel and listen to them at your convenience. They're available at radio.lds.org. Today, our guest is Bradford Waldie, who is attending Oxford University as a result of being number one in his class, graduating in 2010 at the Air Force Academy. And congratulations to you on that, Bradford, by the way. That's a great accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
You must find a lot of common ground and respect for President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
I do.
Am I right?
Yep, I do.
I recall in his last conference when he talked about tree rings, and then he ended with, "You're all wondering what this has to do with airplanes."
I really do respect him. He's a great inspiration to me, especially, and I love hearing his stories about airplanes, and I guess everyone else does because he always lives up to his expectations.
What are your broad goals, Bradford, in after attending Oxford, and will you be returning to the States and then going into the Air Force pilot training?
Yep, it'll be pilot training as soon as I leave here, and I've already got my assignment. I'll be in Texas at the Euro-NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training base there, so that'll be exciting because I'll also get to train with all the other NATO allied nations, so I'll get to continue to interact with a very diverse group of people, and then after that, I'll fly for a while for the Air Force, you know, probably somewhere in the 5 to 10 year range, and then after that, I'll try to transition out and seek some of those opportunities for, you know, international exposure, maybe try to do a tour working in Washington, D.C. At, you know, a policy desk there or something like that. Those opportunities are also available. And then as long as I'm still having fun and enjoying my job in the Air Force, I'll stay in. And then as soon as I feel that it's my family's time to get out and settle down, I'll probably head back to Arizona. And I think after I get back there, it'll be either education or maybe try my hand in some government work there and something like that. So we'll see what happens at that point.
Yeah. Well, you've probably received a lot of training in the area of leadership, both at the Air Force Academy, and you probably will at Oxford as well. How has the church influenced you in those areas of principles of leadership?
I think that it's the church has really helped balance things out a little bit because at the military academy, sometimes, you know, we get hammered over the head with leadership and are given models and examples of, you know, military leadership. And so I think the church really helped me to see that leadership exists outside of the realm of just the military. You know, there's there's not always a clear, you know, command structure when you're given an assignment to help someone in the church. And you know, it also taught me principles of leadership that I feel like I might have missed had I just counted on the military training to become a leader. You know, think Christ-like leadership, you know, being a minister or, you know, trying to, you know, really serve the needs of the people rather than just focusing on a mission. And I think that the church really rounded out my leadership training in that, you know, it obviously, I had the greatest example of leadership in our Savior and reading the way that he interacted with people and his followers and, you know, trying to emulate his leadership skills in the military with members of our faith and also people who aren't members of the faith has been really a great strength to me.
That's great. Well, Bradford, it's been great to talk to you today. Of course, the name of this program is Why I Believe, and you've had a lot of experiences in your life so far. How old are you right now?
I am 24 years old.
24 years old.
Yeah.
And so much experience already.
Yeah.
We always like to ask people why they believe as part of this program, and I wonder if you could share with us a bit of your testimony in that regard as we close out this program.
I definitely would be happy to do that. I've been asked this question a couple of times recently, why I believe. And I think, you know, it's difficult for me to articulate. You know, having grown up a member of the church and having had such a great upbringing, it's always been difficult for me to really articulate, you know, where the foundation of my faith lies because it's always been present. But as I've really thought of what the best way to answer that question is, I guess the analogy I've always had is that there are bricks and there's mortar to the house of faith that I've tried to build, and that the bricks have been these amazing experiences I've had, whether it's keeping the Sabbath day holy and then seeing throughout the rest of the week that the Lord has really strengthened me and lengthened my stride and helped me to accomplish everything else that I need to get done, or whether it's been abstaining from, you know, watching inappropriate movies or listening to inappropriate music And then seeing not only members of the faith respect that, but also members who or people who aren't members of our church stand up for me when I might accidentally walk into a room where a friend is watching an inappropriate movie. You know, they'd warn me and say, hey, you probably shouldn't be in here. You know, this is not the kind of movie that I know that you would like to watch. And to see the way that they've gained respect for me because of the church, you know, and my standards. And those experiences, those stories have all been, you know, bricks that I've been able to lay that have helped me to really firmly believe in my Savior Jesus Christ and that this is his church. But then there's also the mortar, you know, the things that kind of bind it all together, which is, you know, like I mentioned before, when I go to an institute class or when I go to Sunday school and I'm sitting listening to a lesson and I get a tiny prompting, you know, that, you know, this upcoming week, you know, you should, you know, do this. Or, you know, even if I'm thinking about bigger questions, you know, you should maybe take this career path or, you know, you should talk to this person, you know. Those little promptings that come so often, so frequently that it's hard to articulate really are the things that have glued those experiences together. And they're the things that, you know, those promptings, that feeling of the Spirit that I get when I'm at church or when I'm with members of the church or when I'm reading my scriptures, those are the things that really motivate me to, you know, get out of bed after a long week of work and get up and go to church, or, you know, to read my scriptures even if it's late at night and only for a few minutes before I go to bed. You know, and so all those things put together have really made me know without a doubt that, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior and that this is his church. And it's been something that has been irreplaceable in my development, and I hope will continue to enlighten everything that I am able to go on and do for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Bradford, thank you so much for being a guest on the Why I Believe program today. It's been great to have you with us.
Great. Thank you so much, Rick.
You're listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. For more information on this program or other programs on the Mormon Channel, please go to radio.lds.org. Have a great day.